Hello and welcome to the Jada Edwards Podcast. Today, we are talking about what it looks like to be in full-time ministry and when your mission field is actually the workplace. I have some fabulous guests with me and I cannot wait for you to hear from them. This is the Jada Edwards Podcast. Welcome to Season 5. As usual, we're going to get into the Bible and the Word of God, but we're also going to talk about friendship and overall wellness, what it means to be in various seasons of life, laugh a lot, and grow together. I can't wait for you to see what's in store. All right, ladies, I'm so excited y'all are here today. We finally in here. So I have with me two amazing guests. Y'all, I'm going to let them introduce themselves. I have Rosemary Lewis and Denisha Martinez, who I still want to say Denisha Thomas sometimes. And you've been married how many millions of years?
Wow, 15 now.
15. Yeah. But in my mind, it's like, you know, well, that's how I met you. So anyway. All right. So Rosemary, tell us a little bit about what you do in the workplace, what life is like for you now.
I am Rosemary Lewis, and I am a real estate broker. So I serve the Metroplex here in Dallas. I'm also a team leader, a podcaster. I teach digital courses to realtors. I coach realtors. So just, you know,
all the entrepreneurial things. Right. From the classroom to now, like, I'm like, she's a mogul. I have a friend that's a mogul. So killing it. All right, Denisha, tell us what's going on with
you. I do not do all that. I work for a large pharma company by the name of Genentech, and I'm what's called a healthcare executive director. So what I think about my role, it's if you think about the healthcare landscape, it's where the payers, providers, we deal a lot with some policymakers, mm-hmm. as well as patients come together. And so my job is just to coordinate a team and some leaders that take care of the local marketplace.
Mm-hmm. You make that sound very small.
Exactly.
But you've led some pretty large teams with Genentech. What has been your largest leadership role there?
62 people. Mm-hmm. And right now I have six managers who report directly to me. Mm-hmm. And we're responsible for about $1.6 billion worth of business.
Yeah. Yeah. So I remember when you first got your Genentech, I was like, what? We felt so excited. We were young and glad that our friend was killing it in pharma and still is. And so, y'all, thank you so much for being here. We have had some really good conversations. Some of it kicked off in January. You know, we do our big Climb Leadership Conference and had some good conversations around what it looks like to be in ministry in the workplace, especially because a lot of people still don't know that I work outside of the church, you know. I oversee strategic planning for our chief financial officer at Dallas College and have been there for 20-something years now. But so it's always this interesting mix because I get to see how people define ministry, what they think is ministry in that church space. Mm-hmm. And my reality has always been a dual reality. I've always lived in these two worlds. Before we planted one, I was working there. And so even in evolving in that, I've been like, well, ministry is not just church. And that's from a church planner. That's me saying that as a church planner. I'm like, but I've had so many awesome times of prayer and faith and even some good challenges. Like, I feel like my faith has been sharpened, my ability to share the gospel. What can you say when everybody's not a captive audience? Like, how do you win people over when they're not, like, eager to hear about the Bible? So it's been a benefit for me, I think, to live in both of those spaces, to be in community and growing in a body of believers, but also to be in the workplace and be able to encourage people or check my own integrity or, you know, figure out what that looks like. So I'm just going to throw out an open-ended question. What has that journey looked like for either of you? Because I know for me, I think when we're younger and we're hustling and we're trying to make it, you're like, I mean, I got Jesus in my car, but mm-hmm. right here, you know, I'm about to just don't worry about that. You're either grinding or you got ambition that works against everything you know as a Christian. And so you have a lot of things where I think we compartmentalize our faith earlier on in our careers. That's been my experience because you think that's what it takes to be successful. You don't want to alienate. And then you hit a point, you're like, you know what? I wouldn't even have this without Jesus. So exactly. Y'all going to fire me. Yep. This is how it is, you know. So what has that been like for either of you?
Yeah, I'll start. It's interesting. And I'm going to start with life before.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say Conway mm-hmm. or Pastor, and then life after meeting you and Pastor. Mm-hmm. When I first started to meet you and Pastor, I was actually a manager already at Johnson & Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing well, but I was living my life the way that every leader should live your life. What does it take to get ahead? How do you be aggressive, but also be feminine, mm-hmm. right? Also making sure that whenever you have a platform, you're using it for yourself or to mm-hmm. elevate your career. as you guys taught me how to lead in the church, mm-hmm. I learned to be a better leader in the workplace, mm-hmm. which was really cool. Like, mm-hmm. how do you really know your teams? How do you care for your teams? How do you understand what's important? And more importantly, do you understand the platform that you've been given is not for you? Mm-hmm. It's for the glory of God. Mm-hmm. After that, I actually came to Genentech, mm-hmm. which I would say is not, we're a South San Francisco-based company, so we don't have Southern mm-hmm. principles, so right. to speak, right? Mm-hmm. But I got to come to a place where I could live out my faith based on what I learned in the church. Mm-hmm. And so right now we're going through some changes. We are going through organizational shifts. Mm-hmm. And I got to be on a call yesterday and telling people, you know, over the next 2 weeks, you might find out whether or not you're going to be here. But I said, but for those of you who have faith, it's an opportunity for you to decide whether or not you're going to live out what you say that you believe.
Yeah.
I wow. wouldn't have had the courage to right. do that had right. I not learned that right. from the platform that I've been given here at church. Yeah. And so awesome. I would just say for leaders who are in the marketplace, there's no reason why they have to be separate. Do we have to be more careful? The answer to that, quite frankly, is yes. Mm-hmm. But when God gives you those opportunities to do it,
listen,
you cannot.
We're like hanging out there sometimes. Yes. And then I think back, gosh, how many times did somebody share a burden or share a need? Or and I encourage them with like communication 101 or leadership yeah. 101 or, you know, and I was like, you can do it. Press through, set your priorities, values, habits, all that great stuff. And now I'm just like, listen,
yeah,
mm-hmm. what's important to you?
Right.
Like, and so now I'm like, if you really want to know, girl, come in my office. Yeah. We can talk about it, you know, but it's not about to be in an email. We need to talk about it. And I think that has been a big shift. It's part of it is our age, our own maturity, and just been like, whatever. And then the other part is just Jesus going, really?
Yeah.
That's what I mean, doing?
Really?
Yes. Yeah, what about you, Rosemary?
You know, it's when I think about that question, there's just so many different directions. I think back to when I was earlier in my Christian journey and actually developing relationship, because I've been knowing Jesus my whole life. Mm-hmm. We've been like first cousins.
Right, right.
But just actually making that intentional shift, like, I want to get to know you. I want to give you my yes. I felt a tension at work, mm-hmm. right? And that tension was, I don't want to be one person outside of work and one person, like I have
right.
to, I have to show
right.
up the same way. And even before I was in the position that I am now, I was a school teacher. Mm-hmm. And like, I remember playing worship music on instrumental mm-hmm. for my,
right. Right. No words in there,
but you know, there were just different ways that I would, just the way that I would love my students. Like, I wanted them to feel God's love, even if I couldn't explicitly say it in the school
right.
setting.
Right.
But there were so many times where I never forget, I had a teacher that, man, if we was on a playground mm-hmm. in Chicago, mm-hmm. I would have squared up with her on the situation. But I didn't. And I remember the Lord telling me, the way you handle this tough situation with her mm-hmm. is your witness, right? It's mm-hmm. it's you representing me, because now I'm a Christian and I'm mm-hmm. telling everybody. Mm-hmm. And I remember a couple of months later, finding out that she went through a very difficult situation, and like me just saying, can I pray with you? Mm-hmm. And wow. that has just extended in my real estate life. And what I have found is when I, you know, I didn't want to be offensive. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to mess my money up.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If I'm being honest,
not,
right? I didn't want to mess my
true.
Money up. But at some point, having to decide that God is my ultimate provider. Mm-hmm. So yes, we have to go to him with discernment. Mm-hmm. You know, every situation isn't a sermon or a scripture, but how right. can I love and encourage you well? And when the opportunity, when the window opens,
mm-hmm. yes,
mm-hmm. I need to trust God and take that leap. But my character leading up to, which is a lot, is weighty, mm-hmm. right? Because your character has to reflect God's character, mm-hmm. even in difficult situations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's also why for a while I shied back, because I was
right.
like, that's a lot, because right. I'm going to pop off when
right.
I pop off.
If I tell y'all, then y'all going to be like, hold me accountable.
No, it's a lot.
It is. It
but
is.
It should be a lot.
Yeah.
It should be a
That's
lot.
Good.
It should feel weighty.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, we may be the only Jesus someone sees.
Yeah. It really is. And I think the challenge for me has been, I think, well, there's a lot of reasons I've continued to work. Originally, it was just practical. You know, we were broke, we had money. I was like, oh, benefits, mm-hmm, income, mm-hmm. church don't pay. You know, we also would like to live, you know. So that was for a long time, you know. And then I think at least 10 times I've been ready to quit, right? And then something happens and the Lord is like, I need you here. It's either a person or something's happening organizationally. I remember the first time we went through, it wasn't really layoffs because higher education is pretty stable, but we did have a season where it was causing some big shifts. And I remember we had two groups. We have two groups of employees. We have professional support staff and we have administrators. They, at the time, were on these two different investment tracks. Like mm-hmm. their 403Bs were invested in different things. And then they were opening it up saying, you know, we're going to open it up because the one that was the preferred one, like if you're an administrator or executive, well, it was in the stock market, right? So you had higher returns, but around the mid-2000s, so now all the staple people who had lower returns but had not lost money were like, boom, you know, the classism is being reversed. But I remember when that opened up, it was such a thing that they were upset that now that, you know, they couldn't get the benefits of being an administrator, but now administrators don't get to choose where they invested. Oh, y'all, it was a thing. And when you have in higher education or nonprofits, you know, because salary is typically not the game changer, all these other things become important. Mm-hmm. Benefits, relationships, position title. Anyway, I remember just talking to people about this and them like, how are you not mad about this? This is so unfair. And I was like, but does it affect you?
Yeah.
Or are you just mad that someone else now has what you think is a different chance or a better chance? And talking to people about, but how does this change you? Are you going to still come? Are you going to still, you know? So that from then COVID and layoffs and real layoffs, and it's been the same conversation I found myself having. And now we're in some more organizational shifts. And I was talking to one of our higher ranking administrators a couple of weeks ago, and she was like, I'm over this place, you know? And so it was starting to create, I think, some negativity around her reputation, mm-hmm. and how she was showing up, because she's checked out. And I just said, listen, I said, are you going to be here?
Because
if you're going to be here, you need to be here.
Yep.
I said, you walking around, especially as she's walking around talking about she's a Christian. So I was like, you can't walk around and talk about this faith, because even people who don't share your faith, they're still going to hold you accountable to your faith.
Yes.
They didn't matter
what.
So I'm like, if you're going to be here,
be here.
Mm-hmm. Either do you want to leave? I don't know if I want to leave. Well, yeah, because every job has pros and cons. And so higher ed may not pay the most, but there's flexibility and you're not going to work all weekend. And there's all these other things that you might want to trade off for work-life balance. Do you want to be here?
Mm-hmm.
While you're here, you need to be here. And so I said, because what you can't do is be physically here and then mentally checked out. So your work is not excellent or you're not able to defend the decisions of your leaders, even if you don't agree with it.
Mm-hmm.
Say, let me apply my marriage principles mm-hmm. to y'all, you know? Mm-hmm. So those kind of conversations, I think, have become, I don't know if they're easier or if I'm just seeing the opportunity more clearly than it was always there. And God was like, you don't have to quote Amos.
Exactly.
Just, if you just give them basic principles, it's so countercultural to how they think. If they're interested, they're going to want to know, how in the world? And then it just opens the door. Y'all know what I'm saying?
Yep. Totally.
Yeah. So, okay. So let me ask about this. Here's the other thing I think comes up. When it comes to building success, like creating a success path, what we're taught early on, how you create success for yourself, like that, it contradicts a lot of who Jesus has asked us to be. So how did that shift? The way you started creating success for yourself early in your career versus now?
I think there's a couple things that come to mind, but one of the first things is one of the things, again, I've learned. I'm going to say I've learned it here. It's every job I go to, it's how can I replace myself? Mm-hmm. So when I get in my current
Nobody's thinking that.
Right? Because our job is to be multipliers. Right. Our job is to be salt and light.
Everybody, this is like job security.
Right.
How do I withhold enough information where you can't fool you my job?
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. And if we're doing...
You don't know the password. Don't worry, I'm not telling you.
Because we know that information is currency in the workplace, right? And so if I have something or a skill that gives me more power, you will need me. But what I've learned that's countercultural is if I go into a role and I'm building leaders to come behind me, if I'm hiring people with great skill sets who can do great things, I am ultimately going to be replaced. But what I found is I haven't been replaced. I've just moved on to my next role.
Yep.
Wow. And been given an opportunity to do it for more people.
Yep. Wow.
Right. And one of the things I've learned, again, most of my leadership skills have come from the church. It's a privilege to lead.
it's a privilege to serve. So who am I not to give someone else that same privilege?
Yeah. Wow.
I think when you see it in that perspective,
yeah,
it just changes the way that you do your job.
Yeah.
It's, we talk about servant leadership, but that's not what we really want.
No.
We don't want to watch someone else speak. We want to
look like a servant. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. We want fake humility, and that is not true. That means that if my admin's overwhelmed, I need to do my own calendar for a week. Yeah. That means I might need to build some slides. That means if someone can't do it, I might need to pitch in and get the work done, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Now, as a leader, if I'm doing that too much, then that's a different operational issue that I need to address.
Right.
But no, I walk in with, okay, what's my purpose here right now? How long do I need to be here? Because one of the things that we've also learned more recently here is that you should evaluate whether or not, I love how Pastor says it, every 5 years, I need to evaluate whether or not I need to still be in the same role.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So now I'm in the process of going
20 role.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every 5 years, do I still need to be at Genentech? Do I still need to be leading people? Has my life changed? And so that's the season I'm in today. And I would have said that was never the case before.
Right.
It would have been lead, replace yourself, and move to the next job.
Right.
Now it is lead, replace yourself. Okay, Lord, what do you want me to do next? And be open to
just
whatever next is.
Yeah.
And you know me, that is that's not where I want to be.
Right.
So that's kind of where I am in this new season of life and leadership.
Oh, that's good. That's, you hit on a couple of big things. One is the people component that shifts. I think over the last 20 years, I'm dating myself, organizations have started to embrace that people component, but there's still an agenda to it, right? So emotional intelligence, strengths finders, every assessment team, this team. It's not to really love and serve people. It's so that you can produce more, be more successful. There's still an agenda to knowing people. And as a believer, you're like, no, I know people and want to know people because people are it.
Exactly.
Like, God's like, that's love me and love people.
Yes.
And if this company burns down and poofs, I just need to care about these people, right? So it becomes this this strange thing to now really be like, I need to care about this person. And I have to balance the tension of, oh, what if they're not doing a good job? Mm-hmm. What if I need to correct them? Now, it's different to correct someone I'm trying to care about, you know?
Exactly.
That people thing is big. But the second thing you said, staying ready. I think that's so counterintuitive because I just knew, especially I came out of college into corporate America, I was making ridiculous money. It was like, make your way. Mm-hmm. If it's not a way, my dad was like, if it's not a way, get a machete and cut down the trees and make your way.
Right.
So all this staying ready and Lord, when you ready, I wasn't trying to hit it. I was like, you must be ready because I'm ready. So it is so counterintuitive to like just doing your best and staying ready versus, all right, now I'm ready. I'm about to create my next rung on the ladder. I'm going to make my ladder.
That's exactly,
you know, that is, I mean, that's great. Like that people piece and staying and not, and being okay, not aggressively creating your own career path, I think are some hard things.
Something you said too about coaching and candor. I think when you do it God's way, you can give coaching and feedback because you're doing it from a place of care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not,
people receive it differently.
Totally different. Yeah. Like I'm not doing this to put you down. I'm not doing this because you did something wrong. I truly care about you. And I want the excellence that I know that's within you to shine.
Yeah.
So let's have a conversation around how to get there. It just transforms.
Yeah. They're looking at you like, what?
Right.
Yeah. You ain't about to fire me?
Yeah.
Like I should, but.
But I'm not.
I should have been fired.
That's three times in my life, that part.
And yet here we are.
Right. Yeah.
Grace at its best.
Listen. Rosemary, what's that been like for you? Like how you created success for yourself? How did that evolve?
You know, I remember having a conversation with you early on when I transitioned into real estate. And I was like, okay, how do I not believe my own hype? Because in this real estate field, it is very much, you can believe your own hype. Mm-hmm. You can believe your own truth. Mm-hmm. Everybody manifesting and I'm working and I'm grinding. And I realized very early on that this can become an idol for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want it to become an idol because this was totally not my idea. I know that it was a God idea for me to even transition. I always say that I just love people. I used to get to love little people and coach them, and now it's just bigger people. So for me, it's been that continual process of having a daily quiet, like it's non-negotiable to sit with God, because number one, he showed me my junk every day.
Mm-hmm.
And just to center my heart around what it is that he's having me to do. And what's funny is a lot of things that I'm quote unquote successful for now are things that I don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's things that God is calling me out to do.
Mm-hmm.
And sitting with him, and I always say getting to know the creator is helping me understand more about the creation that he's created, which mm-hmm. is me. Mm-hmm. And he's showing me how everything, even the stuff that I'm thinking, I'm in real estate, like you leveling up mm-hmm. my family. Thank mm-hmm. me, Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, but, right. Yeah. Oh. But it's like, oh, there have been so many yeah. scenarios where, you know, I've sat with people, you know, at their table to sell their house, and they're going through a divorce or lost a parent. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit is telling me to pray. And I'm like, I don't think so. I don't mm-hmm. think this is the time.
Mm-hmm.
But knowing that, no, this is what success really mm-hmm. is. It's fully just being obedient with that yes. Mm-hmm. And my deepest prayer for myself right now and for my besties, that's why I call them my real estate besties, as mm-hmm. I coach them, is that we don't want anything from God more than we want God.
Oh, that's good.
So that's been like the constant reminder. And I have to remind myself, because as you are acquiring things and notoriety and stuff and, you know, these little fake awards people give you, you mm-hmm. can, it can easily convince yourself, because that's what the world cheers yeah. on. But what I want to be known for is, you know what? She honestly pointed others to Christ mm-hmm. when it was hard, in those difficult conversations, championed people, and not for the sake of getting,
right,
but for the sake of knowing. Yeah. Like, I could tell you every success secret in terms of the business and the world, but if I don't share with you what God has done in my life, mm-hmm. it'll all be in vain.
Yeah.
And that's just a consistent okay. conversation.
Now, I'm about to turn the corner because okay. I love that answer, but we about to get real, real for a minute. What were your sales last year? Let's talk about it.
I mean, last year I sold a little bit more than $15 million
uh-huh.
in real estate.
It's a lot of houses.
Yeah, it's a lot of mm-hmm. Yeah, a little bit more than $15 million mm-hmm. in real estate.
And you've been trending up since you started.
Oh, yeah. The year before, I sold like 22. So last mm-hmm. year was a little slow.
Oh, okay. Pray for Rosemary, y'all. She dropped $7 million in sales. So I'm asking that not to mess with you. Because Denisha and I probably experience it more, like when it comes that once a year or once every 2-3 years, salary negotiations, things like that. But you're constantly in a place of having to put a price on something.
Mm-hmm.
And how do I know I can mark it up. How much can I mark this up? How do I mark my service up? Somebody might be a hairstylist or they may be whatever. And you're trying to figure out, this is the price I need to live, but I know I'm good enough to charge this. Like, mm-hmm. how do you begin to say, I can't charge this, but then there's some subjective place where you're like, it's not necessary.
Yeah.
And God is like, hey, stop. Or I've had experiences where it's like, yes, someone's willing to pay you for this, a book to come teach, do whatever. And you're just like, I know, but should I?
Yeah.
You know, and it is a wrestle because money is not the sin, right? Mm-hmm. It's the love of it. And so then I'm like, if I'm not constantly asking God the smallest things, what should I charge? What should I earn? What do I do with my excess? How do you wrestle with that as you're in a dollar-driven industry?
Yeah, the best way that I can say, and this has been a real thing, mm-hmm. is that production cannot be my God.
Ooh.
And in our industry in particular, every year you're chasing production, right?
Yeah.
And I found myself chasing. So it's even interesting when you asked my sales last year, they're a little lower than they were, but you know what? But God had to do that, right?
Yeah,
because truth be told, on the best production year of my life, I was winning awards, made more money, bought more stuff, did more vacations, but the bottom fell out. And the bottom fell out, all I had was God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what that showed me is that I can go after everything mm-hmm. that the world says yes. But at the end of the day,
mm-hmm.
he has to be the goal. And living in him now, like not waiting until I get into heaven, but like literally living every single day to say, I want my service mm-hmm. to be for you mm-hmm. because at the end of the day, it's going to pass. And this production is going to go up and down, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
So looking at people like people, there have been people that I've set across that I know needed a coach. They couldn't afford me,
mm-hmm.
but I coached them mm-hmm. because I knew that coaching them was an opportunity to disciple them,
mm-hmm.
right? There have been conversations that I've had with buyers and sellers mm-hmm. where they couldn't necessarily afford to, you know, it wasn't mm-hmm. my normal, mm-hmm. but it was like, no, we need mm-hmm. to move in this direction
mm-hmm.
because God and people have to be the goal.
Yeah.
But it is a wrestle, you know,
because
when you're not winning the awards the
yeah.
way you were or mm-hmm. all of that, it can be a, you know, it's an ego thing.
Yeah.
So this is why going back to that quiet time, dying to self every single yeah. day so that I can show up authentically as who God calls me to be, mm-hmm. especially in a culture or in a field where production, like yeah, you have to everything. Produce in order to have any validity.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So you've had those moments where you're like, this should be my commission. This should be the fee I charge, but I think I'm going to have to change that. Or I think I'm going to give a service for free or things like that.
Yeah.
How do you then do that? I mean, we know we can obey the Lord, but then how do you not, I don't know how to, I'm trying to put words to this. How do you not undo that faith move by then knowing you can overcharge or work harder to make up for whatever you think might have been missed? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because sometimes we can like, okay, God, I'm going to let her have it for free. But then you know what? Let me just book three more.
Yeah.
So my number's still, you know, I'm trying to hit my number. And right. He's not even like, it is about her or that person. But he's also like, yeah, I want to change your bottom line. It's okay.
Yeah.
You know, how do you not try to overcompensate for that?
And you know, the achiever in me wants to overcompensate for that. I think I just have to be still because I've learned that I can't outwork God's grace.
Yeah.
You know, so... And to full transparency, there are not a whole lot of situations where like we're given things for free or things like that. But a great example is when I brought on my team.
Mm-hmm.
I could make more money if I didn't have a team.
Right.
Right. Like literally. But I remember actually Dawn, one of our good friends, mm-hmm. She and I were having a conversation when I was bringing the team on and I was talking about discipleship. And she was like, it sounds like you're kind of discipling it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you know what? You're right. Yeah. And whereas I could make more money, I could make my name greater. If I wanted to, it's more important for me to help develop them.
Mm-hmm.
That means I'm splitting the pie,
mm-hmm.
but I haven't lost out on anything mm-hmm. by splitting the pie. Mm-hmm. So I think, again, it's that continual going back and figuring out, like, what am I really called to do? And I don't think God created me just to be a millionaire,
yeah.
right? Or just to sell homes.
Are
or
you
just
sure?
To do...
No, I'm kidding. Somebody's like, that's my calling. I think he...
I don't think so, right? And on the way, he may allow for provisions.
Yeah.
But these things, again, when you
well, they can
are...
be gone. Listen.
Listen, you have one wrong... You have a wrong turn at the intersection.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that you have held high will be ashes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I definitely think that's important for someone who is seen as successful because one of the biggest things, like I think one of the biggest things that have brought me more followers or people that want to work with me is just being totally transparent about like this, like on the outside, it looks like all this great stuff going on,
mm-hmm.
but on inside, this is where I'm struggling and this is where I am leaning in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you attract more, God has just opened up doors and attracted more people that I think need to hear that because I have so many people that have followed me for real estate,
mm-hmm.
but they're going to get a healthy dose of Jesus
mm-hmm.
every single time.
We're going to slide it in it. Yeah.
Every single time.
Yeah.
And I know that he, like, it's not accidental. He didn't create me to just do this business.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember when you first started, got into this business and you were like, I feel like the Lord's called me to bring homes to people, which is so different than selling houses. Like, you really had this call to be like, I'm looking for, is this a space God wants somebody to build their family? Or what about the person that's dealing with miscarriage or mm-hmm. dealing with loss? And how do I help them find this space to get settled? And so even seeing it from a ministry standpoint, I mean, it's everything. And even, you know, Denisha always has so much work, especially in oncology. And you're always around this life-threatening illness of cancer. And so there's been so many times where I've seen it in your career where it wasn't just about the numbers and the goal. You're like, wait a minute, hold on. I mean, I know we could do this, but wait, there's somebody that's going to take this drug. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a customer, mm-hmm. there's a face at the end of this. And even when you've had layoffs, I remember you'd be like, okay, got to pray about this team meeting. How do I say this to all these people? Because when you're in sales, you know, it can be very cutthroat. And so I love it. And I'm hoping that as people are in whatever their various fields of work are, they start to see that this is not like my church life and my work life. This is ministry. If you're a Christian, you're in full-time ministry. Ministry has nothing to do with staff or where you work. You're in ministry because we're ministers of the gospel, you know? So, okay, last question. I'm going to see if we can squeeze it in. Rest. How in the world? Because we can talk about making sure we're tithing, being generous, da-da-da, we're giving, da-da-da. But man, that rest thing, it don't feel like a scene when you win it. Like, Lord, look at you helping me win. Well, how in the world do we manage that? How in the world? How in the world? When is it like, when do I stop? When do I slow down? When do I let that sale go? When do I just whatever? How do you guys manage still finding rest, still living some kind of Sabbath lifestyle? Maybe it's a rhythm, maybe it's sporadic. What does it look like in your lives?
Wow. I'm really in the midst of that right now.
You're like, I don't have any.
It's interesting. So at Genentech, every 6 years you work, you get sabbatical. So you get 6 weeks off and you can tack on your vacation to that 6 weeks. So over the summer, I took off 9 total weeks, which is amazing. You still get paid the whole kit and caboodle.
Yeah.
That's why I've been here for 20 years.
Right.
But I read this book, which is a very bad decision, called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry.
Oh, my gosh.
You recommended it to me. I read the first chapter and stopped.
Exactly. Like, no, I don't want this.
All right.
Read that. And Ruthless Elimination of Hurry.
It is an amazing book that says you literally need to reorganize your life so that your Sabbath is a priority. And so I came back to work,
so tired,
reorganizing my life. I went back and redid the Breed series that you did, Jada. I was like, I am ready.
I'm Sabbath ready.
I was going to be at my very best. Best mom, best wife, best leader you've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
My boss called me 2 weeks later and told me that we're going to restructure your team.
Mm.
And you're getting ready to start all over. And oh, by the way, the geography or the state that you used to have responsibility for, you are not.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you're resting, when someone tells you have to redo everything that you've done, you feel like
you're in startup mode. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was like, and Lord, you told me I was supposed to rest.
Right.
This is not a restful message. Right. And so what I was looking for in the midst of that was God to make rest easy for me.
Oh.
What he is teaching me is, in spite of what I think it looks
like, you preaching a word.
I have to prioritize rest myself.
Yeah.
I can't expect to rest.
Ma'am.
Jesus.
I can't expect my job to do it for me. I can't expect my family to do it for me.
Yep.
I have to build that in for myself. Not because I need some me time, because it's a part of my worship to my Savior.
Yes.
That's
a whole word.
Yeah.
And it hurts.
Yes, it does.
Because now when I write it down as a part of my yearly goals, gonna get a little spiritual, when I fail on this goal, I'm in disobedience. I don't like it that being that way. I just feel like I'm gonna make it up later. But
right.
No, it's been crystal
clear. Make it up. Yeah.
Because that's your time to think. That's your time to plan. That's your time to strategize. That's your time to just be grateful and thankful.
Yeah.
And to give that up, that means
you're
constantly on a gyroscope, not going anywhere. And the last thing I wanna say is that we talked about when God gives you a platform. And one of the things that I've learned over the last couple of years is, before I walk into the room, my job is to ask myself, why has God placed me in this room?
Yep.
Mm-mm-mm. What question do I need to ask in this room so that God's agenda goes forward? When I don't have a Sabbath, I'm not asking the right question.
You're asking your own question.
That's exactly it.
Jesus.
Or the question that I asked 2 years ago that is no longer relevant at this time in this situation.
Yep.
So in order for me to honor my God,
good,
to use the gifts and talents he's giving me, I've got to rest.
Yep.
Even though the world and my personality type says,
Don't rest. How can we make
you're going to lose ground if you rest?
Yeah.
And God is like, no, you're going to gain ground because everything you get is from me anyway.
Yep.
It is so counterintuitive. And I don't know about y'all. I work in a space now. You manage your time a little more directly. But I mean, sometimes it's a badge of honor to not take vacation.
Mm-hmm.
I took vacation and I still took a meeting on vacation. Now you're like, she's still going to take a meeting. No, like then I'm starting to realize that's not cool. Mm-hmm. I don't want that badge of honor. They're out of office. Leave me alone.
Right.
You know, so, and I'm still working on that because I'm just like, wait, what did I miss? Let me just check. But man, that's a whole word, Denisha.
It is.
That you don't even have the questions to ask or the foresight, the awareness to see what God wants to happen in that moment, in that room, at that table, because you have not taken time to talk to him.
Mm-mm.
Oh, my Lord Jesus. You can be on a path to promotion. You be getting promoted and still be out of order.
Yep.
You can be out of order with a pay raise in a new position, a new territory, and God's you're out of order.
Because you look back and you think, how much more effective would I have been if I just slowed down? I could have run a whole lot faster.
And see what he wanted me to do with him.
Jesus.
That's good, girl.
No, that is good. You know, it's interesting that you asked that. I'm working with a new business coach, and she is challenging me every week to have.
I just want y'all to know the coach needs coaching too.
Absolutely.
We always.
I always need some
help. Absolutely.
Yeah. So she's challenging me that once a week to have 3 hours of what she's calling visionary time.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, no agenda time.
Yeah.
So pretty much the same thing. Yeah. And then one full day a month of doing that, right? It has been on my calendar every Wednesday. Right. It's been on my calendar every Wednesday. And I'm like,
So it's my vision day.
Mm-hmm. So I am like you. And the challenge is that sometimes, especially in my entrepreneur work, sometimes my work doesn't feel like work.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Because it's things that I love to do. I love to coach. I love to, you know, do these classes and courses and talk to my clients. It doesn't always feel like work, but it is work. Yeah. So having to remind myself to slow down. So for me, what I have been consistent with is the quiet time in the morning, just that refocus. So some sort of Sabbath time. But y'all, a daily walk, like most days, I'm going to get outside for a walk 30 to minutes to an hour where I am slowing myself down. And this may sound really crazy for most real estate agents. I really don't work weekends anymore.
Really?
I really don't. Like, I really started because also in that, in building, and like, I don't want to shepherd everything else, but not shepherd my household. Like, not prioritize my marriage and different things
You need rest.
And need rest.
To love those people.
To love those people. So literally most weekends, I am reserving some sort of time for family and some time, but time for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I also not pouring into everybody else because shifting from pouring into my clients and my coaching students to now pouring into my family, finding some time to pour into me. But that visionary time once a week, I haven't quite hit that
yet. So we have goals. We still got goals.
We have goals. But I will tell you this. When I have gotten quiet with God, that everything that he's birthed in me, it's been birthed through those quiet moments. And when I'm not having those quiet moments.
Yeah.
Then that's also when he's told me to stop some stuff.
Yes.
Or
absolutely.
This is a great idea, or at least it looks like a great idea, but you shouldn't be doing this.
Right.
So there is so much value, even like we can't outgive God. My mother used to always say that. So that's even in our work, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes we think we can out hustle his provision.
Yeah.
And he has done more. There was a season in my life where he told me to stop work, and I stopped working for about 2 months. After my mom passed away. Mm-hmm. And I was so scared of what would happen to my business. Mm-hmm. And I actually did more business that year than I would have with my own work. Yeah. But I had to stop and do what he told me to do.
Yeah.
So if the Lord is telling you to stop.
Yeah. And he is. It's not an if.
Yeah.
He's telling us to stop all the time. You need to figure out your rhythms of rest. And, you know, sometimes we have daily, weekly, monthly. We have annual. And listen, you're going to miss days. You're going to miss days. But it is about being intentional and saying, I trust God more than I trust my work. Mm-hmm. I trust God more than I trust my effort. I trust God's hand more than my own hand. Like, it's this constant thing. And here's the thing. In the quiet times, if he's called you to something, now, a lot of us doing stuff he hasn't called us to. Mm-hmm. If he's called you to it, this is how I've had affirmation over the years in my career. He gives you insight for what he's called you to.
Yep, he does.
If he's not giving you insight into your job and your career, I'm not talking about how to pray for somebody. I'm talking about the Lord be setting my agendas.
Yep.
He's like, this is what you need to talk about with your team.
Yep.
You worried about da-da-da. That's not important right now. Yep. Talk about those two things. You need to ask your team to... Listen, he gives you insight into what he's called you to, because the Lord is about excellence.
Yeah.
Faith is not an exchange for excellence. So he will tell you what you need to do at work. He'll tell you what you need to do in your family. All of it is together if he's called you to it. And so I appreciate you ladies so much for this closing thought, because rest is not something our culture ties into productivity or work. We either go one extreme of workaholism and we just like hustle, 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 or the other extreme and we call self-care checking out and not going to do anything for anybody ever.
Yeah.
You're like, no. Productivity is great, but it's not the idol. And what you can produce out of time with God, like, you just can't explain it. Mm-hmm. You just can't explain it. So I want to thank you guys so much. You have dropped some crazy nuggets, and I know it's going to be good. We have a lot of women, some men who probably listen to, in the workplace, trying to figure out, how am I successful and still honor the Lord? Or when do I say no? When do I say yes? How do I bring him into places where he might not be officially accepted, and so much more? And so I just want to thank you, Denisha and Rosemary, for being with me today. So I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you did, make sure leave a comment, leave a review, share, subscribe, all the things, and we'll catch you next time.